As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Renovation Project with Mike Young, where we discuss all things regarding renovation projects with either the FHA 203K, Fannie Mae's Home Style Renovation Mortgage, and also the VA Renovation Loan products, just to name a few. If you haven't already heard, some time ago the VA started a renovation program that allows up to $35,000 in renovations. Then it requires a consultant. I had someone talk to me earlier this week and say, yeah, I've seen them, but they don't require a consultant. Well, then they're not doing it according to the Fannie Mae guideline. The latest word on the street is that they now come out with a much larger program. So get that. If you're a veteran and you're buying a house and you're going with the 100% financing, you now can add construction costs. So you can remodel the things that need to be updated or remodeled in that brand new house you're buying. Not necessarily brand new, but it's new to you. Fannie Mae just added that the renovation can go as long as the appraisal appraises, as long as you can get the appraiser to show the value is going to be there after the renovation. They don't have a limit. They're much like the 203K. It's only their maximum loan limit. If you want to be part of the show today, please call us at 888-627-6008 toll free and ask your renovation questions. While most 203Ks go off without a hitch, from time to time you may find yourself with nobody to talk to that's on your side. Nobody's listening to you. They're just telling you what to do. They're dictating exactly what you have to do, and it's not always in your best interest. I say that because seeing with our company called 203K911, we are seeing so many abuses of power, if you will. Some time ago, it's probably been 2 or 3 years ago, we had a contractor file a lien. The lender panicked and paid the contractor for things he didn't do. He hadn't done them yet, and he wasn't planning to do them. But he actually threatened them with a lien, filed the lien paperwork, and the lender panicked and paid him off. We had immediately, as soon as we realized that he filed a lien, we sent a note to the lender saying, do not pay this. We want to get in front of a judge. And that's typically the way it happens. Just because a lien is filed doesn't mean they're going to win. It's important that we play the game according to the rules. And once in a while, you find that the rules are not in your favor or appear to be loaded against you. So if you have a topic that you'd like for us to discuss on online, you know, with everybody listening, that's great. If you don't and you want to talk to us privately, merely go to 203konline.com and send us a note, a message on that site telling us that you would like to get a hold of us, or go to 203k911.com and click on the message center there. And you can send us a private message. It won't be on the air. And we can go from there. But on with the show. That last lien a couple years ago that the lender paid off, the lender ended up eating it. The work wasn't done. No authorization to pay it. The lender was finally forthcoming. Their insurance paid for their mistake, which is what it should have happened. But I got an interesting call this week. And the call went something like this. Thank you so much, Mr. Young. When the contractor placed a lien on our property, we waited as you thought wiser. We waited, expecting the notice any day for a court date. It never came. Then, one day, I got a threatening letter demanding payment in full, even though it never did get completed. I told the contractor and his attorney that their lien period had expired and to please remove the lien. They postured and huffed and puffed and swore they were going to go ahead and file legal action to get paid. So I went ahead and hired an attorney at that point who told me them in no uncertain terms to remove the lien. And they just did. I am beyond excited because he had already done a lot of work and had a substantial amount of holdback money that was held back, which he's no longer entitled to. That money is now mine to finish the project the way it should have been. And they really did lose their rights by not perfecting that lien, by getting us in front of a judge. That was the end of his note to me, and his conversation. I love it when these things go the way they're supposed to. A lien is not the end of the world. Just keep in mind, if you need someone to talk to, try us at 203K911. That initial conversation is absolutely free. We only charge if we, in fact, are asked to do something more than we can help you on the phone. We've been able to help approximately 400 people at no cost whatsoever. A couple of cases, they had already hired an attorney. We worked with their attorney to bring them up to speed on the 203K. And to my knowledge, everyone we've helped has won. Okay, another letter we got this week, or email, was, my project seems to be going very, very slow. Is there anything I can do to make this thing go faster? Well, I tell you, the biggest problem we see with 203K911 is a lack of communication. The communication falls down, falls apart, and is not any longer a viable way to get things done. The homeowner realizes, or should realize, they're the boss. They are in charge. Now, a contractor may let you think he's in charge. He's not. He works for you. Consultant works for you. Inspectors work for you. The lender works for you. So you're everybody's boss. I like to tell the people when I'm out there doing the consultation that you're the boss. You're everybody's boss. And how long have you been so bossy? But the fact is that you are. And what I recommend heartily is once a 203K loan or a renovation loan closes, there should be a meeting of the minds. I mean, a physical meeting where the contractor comes out, sits down, likely at your home that you're going to be renovating. And that's where you, as the homeowner, set the expectation prior to the project being started. About a year and a half ago, we had a client who closed the loan. The contractor got out there the next day and ripped out the bathroom in the hallway upstairs so he could start renovating. Pulled that hole, took all the walls out, all the drywall, got down in there. And the toilet was sitting in the hallway on the relatively new engineered hardwood floor with no pad or anything underneath it to protect the floor. And there it sat. And a month later, not one other thing had been done. He never asked for a draw inspection up to that point. And the homeowner actually called me. That's when I learned about this incident. And then I instructed him to call the contractor and set up that meeting. He did so, and it turns out that the lender had made an offhanded comment to the contractor directly when I had given him 30 to 45 days to complete this project. The lender said something like, well, you have up to 6 months to complete the project. No more. We're not going to extend this beyond 6 months. Well, the guideline says up to 6 months. It doesn't say you have 6 months on every project. That's a falsity. There's no truth in that statement. And the lender should not be getting involved at that point in telling the contractor without checking with the consultant or reading the paperwork and realizing that this is a 30 to 60 day project. It is not a 6 month project. Contractor in this case said, look, I've got 6 months to finish the job. I'll be out in 5 more months or 4 more months. I'll have it done by the 6 month deadline. So we proceeded to move forward because the contractor failed to comply with his homeowner contractor agreement. So we had the client go over to 203K911, click in the frequently asked questions, go down to how to fire your contractor. They fired the contractor according to that, hired a brand new contractor. They lost 10 days rather than 4 more months or 5 more months. So what happened was a new contractor got in there, knocked the job out in less than 30 days. Yahoo. Now, what happened? We had a failure to set the expectation, and the lender stuck their nose in where it didn't belong and told them they had 6 months to finish this. That is not the case in every 203K. So the idea is that the contractor must start the project and get his first draw within 30 days of the closing of the escrow. Then the contractor once the work starts, the contractor or one of his workers must be on site every day, 5 days a week, until the project is complete. So this contractor originally had gone out there, ripped the toilet out, ripped all the walls out in the bathroom, and then left. So he clearly violated the contract. We're toying with putting in a penalty clause. I don't know if it'll fly or not. But I'm thinking about adding a line in the scope of work notes that puts a $25 a day penalty on the contractor for each day they are out of compliance. So if they don't show up to the job, that's $25. It's a fine. Staying in compliance is so much easier and better for everyone. So anyway, we got started a little bit late, so we're going to take a short break now and get right into feasibility reports when we come back from this break. Please, if you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008 and be part of the show. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203K911.com now and let's fix your problems.
Hey, welcome back. This is Mike Young. Again, if you want to be part of the show, feel free to call us at 888-627-6008, toll free. We're going to be talking a little bit about feasibility reports. There has always been a question about just what is a feasibility report. It has never been a question with me or my crew, but it is a lot of nomenclature, I guess. No, a lot of lenders that call a feasibility report out, and what they're really wanting is an SOR, a scope of renovation. So we got to be careful what it is you're ordering. I know I had a couple of very large lenders, loan officers that were very good. Well, numbers 1, 2, and 3 of the Wells Fargo group, 1, 2, and 3 of their renovation lending group. And they would call up regularly and say, I need a feasibility report. And I'd send them back to the order sheet, because in our order sheet, it clearly specifies what a feasibility is. And if you go to 203konline.com and scroll down to the handy PDF downloads, one of them is feasibility reports, and you can actually get what I'm talking about in writing and have that for your education, if you will. If you're already educated, then have it for your library. In any case, a feasibility report is a quick look at the property for the buyer or the seller of a property and an estimate of the necessary repairs to bring the property up to the FHA minimum property standards. To do this, one must first understand the minimum property standards. From here on, we're going to call them MPS in the written report. But pay attention to what I'm about to say. It's very important. If your seller is wanting to get the highest possible amount for their property, and they understand that it needs some work and that they're going to negotiate something for that lack of maintenance over the years. Maybe their mom and dad lived in this house and they inherited it upon the death of one or both of the spouses or the parents. Well, that lack of maintenance, normal and typical maintenance, becomes necessary repairs. We can no longer let them go. The house is being sold. Lenders don't want to make a loan on that house in its current condition. So it has to be a renovation loan. And nothing wrong with that. That's what we do. But the seller, by getting a feasibility report, we're going to give them a limited report that identifies the items that are health and safety or of necessity repairs under the FHA minimum property standards. That is all the seller is interested in repairing or reducing the price to be fair to any buyer. Now, some sellers are just irrational. They're going to say, well, our house next door to us just sold for $500,000. We're not going to take a penny less. Well, the house next door has just been fully renovated. Your house hasn't seen any renovation in the last 55 years. So, to be fair, the seller is responsible, in my opinion, for bringing this house to minimum property standards. That does not mean updating kitchens and bathrooms. It means bringing them up to current standard as far as health and safety. If these bathrooms are still functional, this kitchen is still a functional, viable kitchen, it likely meets the minimum property standards right now, as is. If it doesn't, if the kitchen floor is falling apart, that kitchen floor needs to be repaired so it's safe for someone to walk on. But the seller should not be concerned about whatever the buyer may want to do over and above the minimum property standards. That's not their problem. They didn't decide to fix the house. You're buying this house as is, and we're going to credit you back some money for any imperfection that is should have been cleaned up or kept up during the last 50 or 55 years when mom and dad owned it. Now, what this does is it powers the seller. So if they get a lowball offer from a investor that's got all cash, ha ha ha. By the way, in case you haven't heard, every sale ever in history has been all cash to the seller. I get a kick out of that when I hear investors say, well, we're going to pay you all cash. Everybody else is too. You know, it just comes from a loan instead of your bank. So, but if you get this feasibility analysis up front and Everything is identified for you to bring it to minimum property standards. You will be empowered. When you get that lowball offer and they're saying, well, we got to fix the kitchen, we got to fix the bathroom, you say, no, we don't. You do if you want to enhance the value of the property. But we only got to fix things that under normal wear and tear would have been fixed for over the last few years when my parents lived in it. Now, the buyer, on the other hand, is getting ready to place an offer on the property, and the property needs repairs. They need to have a clear-cut idea as to the cost of making those repairs. You can't just arbitrarily offer $500,000 or $400,000 for a house not knowing how much it's going to take to fix it up. So a buyer might buy a feasibility report before they place their offer. And that's a down and dirty, quick thumbnail sketch of what it's going to take to bring this house to minimum property standards. Now, we also sell an enhanced feasibility report. Now, what that is we do the feasibility report for minimum property standards just as we would otherwise. But the enhancement is the buyer says, look, I want to update the kitchen. I want to put a brand new kitchen cabinets, flooring, tile, whatever it might be. I also want to put all new dual pane windows. And he gives us this list, a wish list. And we can price those items out in a down and dirty mode as well, identifying two things that way. And this enhanced report, you're going to get the standard feasibility, which tell you here's what is easily negotiable. Okay, this is what the buyer should have been doing for the last 20 years or 50 years and didn't do. So these things are really non-negotiable. The buyer should give you those, should drop the price by that much right off the top. Secondly, unless he's already priced it, taking that into account. But now you know just what that amount really is and not. They might have done, oh, yeah, we took $20,000 off, but those items may actually be worth $25,000, $40,000. Don't let a savvy seller trick you either. In any case, so if a buyer is going to buy a place and they need to know how much to offer, they need the first peg, how much is it going to cost to fix this up? Okay, if it's buying it for $250,000 and it needs $150,000 in repairs, it must appraise at $400,000 or it doesn't make sense to buy it. If the value of improvements to minimum property standards is only $350,000, then the home is only worth $200,000 going in, as is. Knowing that number for the repairs is part of your due diligence prior to purchase of a fixer. On the other hand, the buyer may also want to know the cost of additional repairs that they may want to add to the mix that may enhance the value. You know, we had years ago, we had one model match. The most recent sale in the neighborhood was next door, and it was the same model as the subject property. So as we walked through that, determining what we wanted to do to it, I showed the borrower, I said, come out in the backyard, stand up here on this retaining wall. It's only 12 inches high, so we're not putting anybody in danger. And we both looked over into the backyard of the next house. I said, that house just sold for $470,000. We want your house to appraise as much as possible. So we want your house to look so much like that house from the curb appeal, from the front yard, from the backyard as possible. So the appraiser has no problem seeing that value in your house. And that's what we did. So that 12 inch high retaining wall, they had a brand new one. Ours was rather old. So we just took it out and put a new one in. They had a covered patio in the backyard. We had a patio, so we put a cover on it. We made the houses look alike. On the front garage of the house next door, it had about three or four different color scheme on a pattern. And ours, Our garage door had the same pattern, so we picked another color scheme, but we did the three or four colors as well. So from the street, you walk up and you see the most recent sale next door and you see the subject property. This looks like the same builder built them both, if that makes any sense. So it's important for us to identify what a feasibility is not. It is not enough to send out to get contractor bids, to solicit contractor bids. That would be a SOR, a scope of work, a full consultation bid and specification of repairs. It also is not a list of items with lots of upgrades. It's primarily bringing this house to minimum property standards, where an SOR is going to bring all the little gadgets, all the little wish list items up to full fruition. Okay, so just remember that this show that we're doing is all about you buying or selling a fixer. And we're going to get into that more in a few minutes. But for right now, I would like to take another short break. Call us at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com and you'll be glad you did.
Hey, welcome back to Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young. We enjoy it. We appreciate you being here. We love talking about this project, all of them. We have seen everything probably that can happen that could go wrong and right. In any case, if you want to be part of the show, please call us at 888-627-6008. Had a dozen people this week that threatened to call in and be part of the show. Anyway, I'm sure they will when they get their reinforcement up. Anyway, this radio show is all about you buying or selling a fixer. So things you can do to save money and help get your renovation loan closed faster is the next topic that we're talking about today. And one is get your financials ready. Get them together. If you're buying a house, that's the first step. You got to fill out your loan application sooner rather than later. So find that lender that you're going to be dealing with and fill out their application. Let them get that process started. Now, here's where we have a bone of contention. There is a group of people out there, lenders, loan officers, that for some reason believe the contractor should be the first person out on the job. In my opinion, that is absolutely incorrect. Get your consultant out to the property first. Get them out there fast. Don't wait while the rest of the team is running downfield and halfway where they're supposed to be, and then call your consultant and expect him to finish this thing for you in a day. It isn't going to happen. We have to do our due diligence. Just because you have a contractor's bid, it may be high. I go back to that famous story I had in Marin County where we bid the job at $159,000 and we bid it in four and a half days. Secondly, that lady had her own contractor. He took 4.5 weeks to bid off of our list and came in at $298,000. We were $159,000, he was $298,000. Second bid came in at $161,000. We were $159,000, second bid $161,000. So that first contractor thought he had this job in the bag and he could get it at any price. So why not throw $137,000 more at this? I had a large contractor in the Bay Area provide a bid to a client before I got on the job. I reviewed the price, and I felt that the prices were high, very high, exorbitantly high. They were at $450,000 for the renovation of that house. They had just inherited it. It was free and clear. So they wanted to put a $450,000 construction loan on that house, and probably would have had they not hired us. When you already have a bid, it doesn't preclude us from doing our due diligence on your behalf. So what I did was I just set their bid aside, used their bid more for the scope of work, and made sure that we covered all the bases. Now, they were bidding $450,000 and told the borrowers they would have to come with materials equal to $50,000 that they would have to buy and bring to the house for them to install. First, I said, that's not the way we do it, okay? I want everything that your contractor is going to install in his bid. So I put a bid together, and I said, I don't know how to tell you this. They were $450,000, and you had to bring $50,000 more in materials to the job site. I can't get this to go over $289,000 plus. I'm going to put a 20% contingency just in case. So 56,000 in contingency. So we're at 289 plus 50. So 330 versus 500. And the owner said, well, do you really have somebody that will do it for that price? Well, I do. Yes, absolutely. I've got several contractors that I bid for outside of 203K. When they get busy, they call me up and say, Mike, can you go bid a job for us? Yes, we actually do that free of charge to contractors. We bid the job for free. But at that point, that contractor, we're representing them. And if they get the job, then we get paid. If they don't get the job, we don't get paid. So it's a freebie for our contractors. But let's say if we lost any jobs or didn't get the bids, so far we've been extremely fortunate or good, whichever way you want to call it. And we represent those contractors very well. We do not ever become the contractor and the consultant on the same project. That would be a conflict of interest. So have your contractor identified early in the game if you can, but I wouldn't have them get out there right away. I would have them wait until we have a scope of work for them to bid on. The consultant's job is to actually create a scope of work with the borrower's assistance. All right, that scope of work is going to contain all the minimum property standard issues, the must-do repairs, and anything else the borrower wants to add over and above that, which is called a wish list. All right, so many of the homeowners, they say, well, we're going to give you the wish list after we see where this stuff comes in. No, give me the wish list. Let me do all my work at one time. It's much easier for me. Don't let me do my work and then say, okay, let's add this, that, and the other thing and see what it looks like, and then we'll add a couple more. No, that is a waste of my time and expertise. Give me your darn wish list up front. Okay, we want to do all those things that you've delineated, and then we want to do these other items. We want to put a deck in the back. We want to build a swimming pool, whatever it might be, depending on your loan type. Yes, you can do a swimming pool, not with FHA. So once you have your consultant out to the property, you've got your contractor identified, let the team function. Let each of us do our job at the same time. Each one of us can work on their respective part of the transaction. Believe it or not, this is a team effort, and if one member tries to do everyone's job, you can expect major delays. I, for one, cannot stand it when I get a call from a loan officer asking me, how's it going? How's it going, Mike? Is it going good? I said, did you know when we had the inspection? He said, yeah, you sent me a nice note saying you were going to be inspecting it at 2 o'clock today. It's 2:15. How's it going? You know, that is the worst possible thing you can do because you're distracting me, taking us away from what we're trying to do. We're in a meeting with your client and our client, and lo and behold, you're worried about mine. I usually turn it around on them, and I said, have you got all your stuff done? Have you got your VOEs and your VOIs? You know, your verification of employment, verification of income. And they usually say, well, that's my job, Mr. Young. And I just get real quiet until they say, oh, and this is your job. I said, yeah, concentrate on your job and let's get this loan closed fast. You cannot be everything in this transaction. Wasting your time calling me and taking me and distracting me from this job is not the way to go. I'm happy to stick you on the bottom of the pile and work on other projects until you've exhausted all your calls to me. So it's better that you just do your part of this job and let the team function. I can't tell you how important that is. It just creates major delays. We have one right now that should have closed long ago. 5 or 6 months down the line, someone discovers that the contractor hasn't been able to get his license renewed. Why did it take 5 months? It was a 60-day project. It should have closed 5 months ago, 4 months ago, 30 days later, the finished project. He was licensed. But somebody dropped the ball and got more interested in knowing about, well, Mr. Young, how's it going? And then they'd call over and ask the borrower, is everything looking good? Well, no, we got to get this closed. Seller told us to go take a hike if we can't get it closed in the next 2 weeks. Why didn't they just say that in the first place? It's because somebody was trying to do more than they could. You always have an underwriter. You got photographs? Yeah. Well, send them over here. Why? Photographs aren't required for the upfront process. You know why? Because they want to do your job. They want to look through those photographs and find out, is there anything that they see needs to be fixed? Well, that's not their job. Their job is to underwrite what you gave them, not to second guess you. Anyway, it's important that you keep the whole team informed of things. But if that email doesn't have anything to do with the consultation, please take me off of that particular one. Let's see here. In any case, the appraiser didn't call out any pest report, and there was a lot of obvious work needed. Okay, on this particular project, 5 months down the road, I called out for a pest report. I included a pest report in my report, so they got a copy of it. But now they're telling me, well, gee whiz, the appraiser went out there, and the appraiser didn't call for it. We want you to remove it from your scope of work. And I said, well, I can't do that because there are obvious things around this house that say this needs work. And they came back, well, the appraiser didn't see anything. And I said, what did you give the appraiser to go out to the job with? We gave him your scope of work. And I said, okay. And my scope of work called for a termite, included a termite report, and all the repairs subsequently. The appraiser looks at my report and says, oh, it's got a termite report in it. I don't need to call for one because there's already one being cleared. Oh, so here the lender. Oh, I didn't know that. I said, yes, you did. You know, you gave the pest report and the requirement to get a clearance to the appraiser. So it would be senseless for the appraiser then to call for a termite report. He already had one in front of him. Okay. I said, close the loan. This loan should have closed 4 months ago. Concentrate on your efforts. Okay, let's see. Where are we now? We're back here to one more item. The biggest reason for a project to stall is the contractor's cash flow is very important. To maintain a solid plan for each draw, each 30-day cycle, as the guideline suggests. It'll help keep your project on track for finishing on time. So if things aren't moving the way they should, let everyone know so we can call, we could be prepared for the blow. You know, I hate to work on a project for a month or 2 months and then call in. I said, is this closed yet? And they, oh gosh, no, they canceled. Why? Well, I don't know. I said, what does that mean? I don't know. What does that mean? Well, they decided to just pay cash for the house because we couldn't close fast enough. Ah, maybe you could have had you not tried to be everything to everyone. So, anyway, call in if you want to be part of the show at 888-627-6008. And we'll be right back after this short break and wrap it up.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203k911.com. We know what to do.
Welcome back. This is Mike Young. Love my renovation project. And again, we don't love them all, but we love most of them. You're going to have about 98% of should be no problem at all. And about 2% are going to be boogers. That's B-U-G-G-A-R-S. Boogers. I can't read my own writing. Anyway, if you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. Today, we're broadcasting from our new offices in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it is warm out here. What is it, babe? About 90 out there? 93. Ooh, I'm glad I'm inside where it's air conditioned. This week, we've been inundated with lots of questions about our software. Yes, we are software providers to consultants and contractors both. Nationally, and have been since 1994. We didn't really start pushing it out to the public till 95, but in 1994, I had 15 W-2 employees that were on my staff, worked on my computers in my offices in Northern California, little town of Rodeo, California. Some people call it Rodeo, but it's actually pronounced Rodeo. The big question is that came in this week is, do we have a per-use or per-project charge for the use of our software? And I said, no. Capital N, capital O. No, we don't. Every version of our software sold since 1995 is still in use today. Somebody is still using that software. Now, shame on them. I need to eat too. They should have upgraded long ago. There's so many new features in the current software version that we're selling, and that's version 16. So from version 1, the last 24 years, we're now at version 16. But we do not charge per use. But let me provide a little history about the FHA 203K and our software development. In 1994, when consultants were created, I saw a distinct need for a very specialized software suited for this industry. I wasn't the only one. There was, I think, three other people that at the same time, and we all had a meeting in Washington, D.C. with consultants, not software developers. That's where I met these other three guys. And one of them actually came up to me and told me he was going to run me out of business. Well, I've owned a lot of businesses over the years, and that's never been a criteria. If you're in business to run someone else out of business, then you're in business for the wrong reason. We got in business to provide a good quality product and a service to our clients, both lenders and consultants. And, of course, the homeowners. We want an easy to understand, easy to use software. And to my knowledge, from what I've heard, including one consultant in Texas a few years ago, he got an update to our software, and he told me, Mike, he said, I've tried you're the fourth different software I've used for consulting. The first three are out of business today, so I went to the fourth one. And now I'm trying yours, and yours is by far the easiest to use I've ever used. I had no learning curve. Your literature was very supportive. And your software is just as you said it was. It's intuitive. It thinks for you. You just fill out these pages, fill out each tab, move up, fill out your inspection tab, go to the reports menu where you print everything, pick the report you want, whether it's the first initial inspection and consultation, or the first draw inspection, or the final work write-up. Is it the appraiser paperwork? We actually have a button that you press and you print the appraiser paperwork. Everything it prints, we label appraiser paperwork for your project. It has the name and address of your project, and we send that off to the lender. So the lender doesn't have to ask, what do I send the appraiser? And nobody has to ask, what do I send the contractor? Because we have a contractor set up. You just push the contractor button and print that paperwork, and it prints the contractor's bid, contractor's recap, so it shows all the permit money that's set aside and all that. But we've tried to make it totally intuitive, so it actually runs itself. If you'll just give it a chance, we're happy to do that. We are offering a special right now if anybody is interested in trying our software. We're going to let you have a good long time, and I'm not going to say it on the air because I want to talk to you, and we'll make sure that you're happy with the software, get to use it for a while, try it out, punch holes in it, do whatever you like, and you have a good, healthy, respectable amount of time to use it and make sure it's what you want. One thing I will guarantee, it's easier to use than any of the competition, from what I've seen of it. And it gives you a more complete report that actually does some work for our loan officers. When a loan officer sees a finished product of ours, they are blown away and they can't help themselves but comment, my God, you're doing a bunch of my work by filling out these forms for me and making them ready. I just can't believe it. You're going to save me an hour to an hour and a half every project. Well, what is it in life that's most valuable? It's your time. If you can save a loan officer, particularly a high-volume loan officer, an hour to an hour and a half on each project, and you've got 10 projects a month times 12, that's 120 projects, and you're going to save him 120 to 180 hours. That's a lot of time. Okay, so it's important. Our customers love us. The loan officers love us. Up till then, they were using bad copies of a bad copy to create the paperwork they need and then filling them out by hand. So all that's in our software. You don't have to do that. We've continued diligently since 1994 in updating our software every year or two. We come out with a new upgrade, so we're not inundating you with updates. The original one was an Excel spreadsheet. Today it's C+, and that's not the grade of the software. That's the language that we use, C++. But it's really a nice software. When you're ready to sign it, a lot of newbies say, well, which pages do I sign? Wow. Okay. So in that realm, we do it for you. So we're going to sign that for you all in the software. So it's been fun. We did get off to a little bit of a slow start today, and that's my fault because the new place was not quite set up as way we thought it. But we look forward to seeing you next week right here on BBS Radio. So goodbye for now. We'll see you next week.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.